The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Why would you do that?
It's like a blister Gabe playing golf, right? You get a blister on your hand, and you're like, I cannot play for 2 weeks, right? It's still raw, but heck with it, I'm going to play.
Yep.
Oh, well, if it isn't shaky, then oil. Nice job on the circumcision, but it's not supposed to be a finger. The circumcision was perfect. The finger was your fault. You flinched. Oh, who made you a moil? Where'd you get your degree from? A matchbook?
You might not open it up again.
Yeah.
But you may.
It's possible.
You throw a little crazy glue on there or Gorilla Glue on there, new skin, if you will, you're
second
good to
skin.
Go.
Fourth skin.
Okay.
Don't threaten me, Butcher Boy. Yeah, what was this?
Hey, what's going on out here? You should be ashamed of yourself, both of you.
Oh, how's the baby?
There's nothing wrong with the baby.
The circumcision went fine.
She started it.
I said new skin.
You said skin.
And that's all it took.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Chew.
Yes?
On a scale of 1 to 10.
4.
Don't you want to hear the question first?
Sure.
Okay. Feels like a smart move. Where am I at on the spazometer typically most days? Spaz.
It depends on the season. I would say the average would be 5.
I'm a spaz.
I was 5. Close.
Oh, that's middle of the road. I thought you were going to
I mean,
me
sometimes
a
you're a 9, sometimes you're a 3.
Today, the day of the NFL draft, I'm going to be a 10.5.
You got to be here.
No. And the good
never
news is,
never get too high.
Joshy's right there with me, aren't you, Joshy?
Oh, I am juiced up.
Oh, my goodness.
I woke up thinking about the NFL draft, checking all the latest mocks. Today's the day.
Today Can I ask you something, Joshy?
Yeah, sure.
Why?
Because this is something that entertains me.
Really?
Yeah. I love it. I also love watching some clips of some of these guys you hear about. You watch some cut-ups. You see what people have to say about them. You project where they're going to go, what their potential NFL career is. We're all guessing to a certain extent, but it's fun to enter the game of guessing. It's like
that
gambling.
I was going to say, it's not that different from gambling. It's not that different from filling out a March Madness bracket.
Right.
It's similar to that.
See, here's my thing. And you guys know me good enough. I don't like doing work that really is meaningless.
Period.
Okay?
I don't like doing work.
Because the 7th pick of the draft, we have no idea who it's going to be, but I don't care. He's not going to play for us, so who really cares?
Well, no, it's more of just like seeing these teams mortgaging their future on these picks, and if they're right or wrong, like that's interesting to me. Also, having covered a lot of these guys at the college level, I am interested in where the next phase of their career takes them. Which brings me to our first topic this morning here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And frankly, we are stealing it from our friends over at Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. You can hear them right before us here on ESPN Milwaukee. Chalk or shock? Today's first round, is it going to go more chalk or is it going to be more shock? Because I got to tell you, I was filling out a lot of the questionnaires. They sent out a bunch of questionnaires for our draft coverage tonight on ESPN Milwaukee, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. And as I'm filling out who's going where, it was chalk, 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 chalk. What I mean by that is Caleb Williams to the Bears, then Drake May or Jaden Daniels, then the other one of the three quarterbacks. You know what I mean? Like, I went boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. Does this team need a quarterback? They're going to get a quarterback. Does this team need a wide receiver? They're going to get a wide receiver. Joe Alt's going to go in the top 10. There wasn't a lot of surprise. This is what I think. I could be totally wrong. I also bet that, Chew, there will be some surprises. There will be a couple of, right? It's kind of like in March Madness. Again, to go back to the bracket analogy, when you fill out your bracket, you know you take at least 112 over 5, right?
Yeah.
Just to play the odds.
Yes.
Because it happens often enough that if you take one of the four, you might be right. So I feel like there will be some trades. I feel like there will be some movement, but nothing egregious or crazy. Is that a fair take, Joshy, or am I way off on that?
No, I think that's a fair take. I mean, at this point, this draft has been analyzed up and down. And the one thing that always makes draft more predictable is the amount of quarterbacks going. So this year, with six probable QBs in the first round, we know where they're likely to land. The only surprises will be is in which order and how far up do teams go and how much do they mortgage their future to go up. We have, I mean, Shefty was telling us, basically 20 first-round offensive players. That allows you to kind of start to narrow it down. Now, could Drake May end up at two? Yes. Is that a shock? No, because we all think that's a potential, even though Jaden Daniels is the overwhelming betting favorite as we sit here right now. Where the shock comes in is any movement of players that are like, you know, Pro Bowl level players already getting moved so other teams can kind of take chances, which at this point, like, I don't know how you would be surprised with the amount of mock drafts and scenarios we've all read about.
Like, Chewy, I think at this point, most people can rattle off, again, maybe not perfectly, because there may be some team out there that has used the subterfuge really well and has red herringed their way through this whole process. But for the most part, don't you feel like you could, even you, could rattle off at least eight of the top 10 players who are going in this year's draft?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's chalk then, right?
That's shock, but I think the shock of this draft is going to be, I don't think there's six quarterbacks in the first round.
Really?
I don't.
There's because so many needy teams.
I know, but if I'm a GM on a crappy team, right? Because if out of the six, history tells us three are going to stink.
That's fair.
So I'm going to the owner and covering my ass. I'm saying, I don't like Bo Nix. All the mock drafts have us taking Bo Nix. I don't like him in the first round. Do you want to take him? Because I wouldn't take him. I would maybe take him in the second or third round. I wouldn't take him with the 18th pick in the draft. Bad teams should always take best player available. Hmm. Good teams, that doesn't apply. Good teams, you take best player available at the position of need.
But Chewy, if you are a quarterback needy team, and you miss on a quarterback this year in what has been historically one of the deepest drafts at the quarterback position, you're not long for this world. You're getting your ass fired because somebody will look at it and go, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
We had all of these options. We went so deep and you thought yourself out of it. You talked yourself out of it. You overthought the thing and went and got J.C. Latham. Now, again, is J.C. Latham, who you told me this morning went to Catholic Memorial, had no idea. Yeah. I only knew him from IMG Academy and, of course, from Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody goes and gets him, is that a mistake? No. I mean, he's going to be a good player, probably the type of player who can lock up and solidify your offensive line. But if you needed a quarterback, feels dicey. That's why right now a lot of mock drafts have J.C. Latham going to the Chargers, because the Chargers are set at quarterback. They're one of the first teams that will probably go off of the quarterback path as you're looking at the mock draft. So we are excited about today. And maybe by the end of the show, we'll get Chewy excited as well. Although it's a long day for the big guy. What do you got, radio tonight at 7?
I'm only on for an hour. No, 6 to 7. Out of the gate, me and Benny, which is going to be a ride. And it is Blammer Thursday. So do I have to temper Blammer Thursday? I don't think so. Josh,
can we get a ruling on this?
Whatever you plan on doing, just don't talk about it on air.
Oh, okay. Well, you've been to the Q Club. Club's like.
Well,
I just want to fit in.
Any idea how difficult that is going to be? I mean, we gave him a major award last week, or this week, I suppose, beginning of the week, because he didn't tell people that Ashton Rotman was getting engaged on his trip to Italy with his girlfriend, now fiance. And now you're saying, whatever you do, just don't say it on the air?
Yeah, but when 6 o'clock hits, Jen, I'll be like, did Joshy tell me to say it on air or not to say it
on
air?
Just write it on your hand. Okay? Can you give yourself a little crib note?
It's not a locker combination. It's my liver.
Yeah. But also it's your livelihood, because if you do talk about getting, you know, blasted before the show, on the show.
Not blasted, just fun. You told me to get excited.
I think they have to suspend your butt, which, again, is probably not the worst thing in the world for you. Exactly.
But back to the quarterback thing, Jen, it's just, I think your three flops, are going to be, I don't like McCarthy. I don't like Nix. And I don't like Penix. I don't like him in the first round.
Here's the thing. I agree with you too, completely. The problem is everybody, especially teams that need quarterbacks, they're trying to save their ass. The GMs. They're all making picks going, I have to hit this pick because if I take an offensive tackle and he's merely good but we win four games, that doesn't mean I'm coming back next year. So all these guys are in pursuit of a way to save their job, which forces you to go, well, maybe Michael Penix is the answer. Maybe Bo Nix is the answer.
Sure.
And I will also say this. We talk about this every single year when teams go after quarterbacks. So much of the success rate and the hit rate, guys, is fit. It's not just exclusive to talent. It's where they went. It's if they can develop a quarterback, which, again, we think that the Packers have gotten pretty good at that at this point. But some of these teams just are not. They're not good at developing quarterbacks. And if you take one guy with marginal talent and another guy with exceptional talent, and the marginal guy goes to an organization that can develop a quarterback, trajectory high. You take a talented guy who goes, and look, maybe Justin Fields is the example, right? Like, I know not everybody like thinks Justin Fields was the second coming and whatnot, but Justin Fields goes to Chicago, where they have historically struggled to develop quarterbacks. There are a lot of experts out there, guys, who think that Justin Fields is going to soar under Mike Tomlin with the Steelers. And what is that? It's just a different coach. It's a different organization. It's a different developmental program. And so that's where you say three of the guys, I can't nail it down to the guys. It's going to be, for me, the guys and where they landed.
And the reason people are so willing to invest at the quarterback and overpay for it, like, look at what happened last year with Bryce Young versus CJ Stroud. Now, that story's not finished, but the second best option everybody thought going into the draft was the one who everyone goes, oh, wow, that's the future of the NFL. And that fell into their lap for the Texans. So the fact that maybe the fourth quarterback in this draft is the best one, you can doubt that, but crazier things happen every single year with quarterbacks.
Yeah, but look at Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
He was what?
Big miss.
He was the second or third pick in the draft?
I think second.
If you look at that draft, I'm sure there are future Hall of Famers that got drafted behind Zach Wilson, and he was a flop, right? Which makes you go and trade. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, it's when you're bad, you take the best player available. You tell the owner, I can't do this in 2 years, okay? Our roster is crap, right? And if the owner doesn't want to listen, then it's on him.
But that's what I was just going to say, Chu. You can have that conversation, but the owner may not be as patient as you want them to be.
Sure.
And the owner may say, look, the Dallas Cowboys are not in a position where they need a quarterback, but let's just use Jerry Jones as an example because he is the most irascible owner out there. If Mike McCarthy went to Jerry Jones and said, it's going to take me a little time to get this sucker figured out, please don't lose your bleep if we don't take a quarterback in the first round, trust your scouting department, yada, 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 yada. Okay, that might go in one ear for Jerry Jones, rattle around for a few minutes, and pop out the other ear. And he may say, no, you're fired. Yeah. You didn't do a good job. And the other thing is, and we've talked about this with regards to the Green Bay Packers, how in sync are the GM and the head coach, and, they don't have an owner, but Mark Murphy. Like, we now believe that Brian Gutekunst and his scouting department are not involving Matt LaFleur and his coaching staff all that much. Now, maybe, I'll put this caveat out there, that has changed with Jeff Hafley being there, and if they are going to have capital on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's negligent not to ask your defensive coordinator what type of player he wants, especially if it's going to be your first-round pick. But are we concerned at all about that, Chu? Are we concerned at all about Brian Gutekunst buying the ingredients and Matt LaFleur cooking the meal?
I think at this point, especially after last year, they have to be at the point now where they trust one another. LaFleur trusts Goody to draft, and Goody trusts LaFleur to coach, right? But I wanted to ask you, how long should an owner give a coach when you have, like, the Carolina Panthers? I don't even know who's there now, but how long should he get to turn that roster around? Because I know when Mike and Ron got to Green Bay under me, you get 4 years. You get four. Ron got four. Now they fire guys after 1 year. You know, the problem is the vetting process when you hire these coaches is not very good. Because a lot of these coaches can put a silk hat on a pig. Is that right? Lipstick?
Lipstick?
I thought there was a hat involved.
Hat on a
can
pig.
Be. It depends on how dressed up you want to be.
All right, lipstick and a silk hat is pretty dressy. They can talk, you know, they can whatever. They can sell whatever, but they suck as coaches. And a lot of times they can't see through that, you know? When I went to Washington after the Packers cut me, I had Snyder in my hand. Had him in my hand. He was ready to sign me at the table, you know? And that's the problem. These owners just, they're outside their realm of expertise.
Sure, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to interfere.
No, I know. And when you're a young coach and you get your first head coaching job, you're happy to get that job, but I don't know. It takes time. You can't do this thing overnight, especially when you don't have a quarterback. And that's all I'm saying. I'm not taking Bo Nix because I don't have a quarterback and I have to. Because if he turns into a disaster like Zach Wilson, then that sets you back even farther.
Mm-hmm. Why did people think Zach Wilson was the next best thing?
Yeah.
I mean, he went to BYU.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't light the world on fire. He was, again, fine, but like...
Yeah,
then
they were a top-ranked team that year.
Sure, though. But then you go to the Jets, and again, this is where the... Mm-hmm. Disillusion? A little bit of disillusion?
Yes.
Like, you're the Jets!
What year was that?
That was 21. The draft went Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance.
Keep going.
Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, Penny Sewell, J.C. Horn.
All those guys are... 20 Patrick times Sertan, better than Zach Wilson.
Devontae Smith, and then number 11, Justin
Fields. Penny Sewell, who just got paid yesterday,
yes.
I believe, by the Detroit Lions, along with Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And drafted right after.
Amon-Ra, right?
Yes.
Amon-Ra.
Yes.
St. Brown.
Drafted right after him at 11, Micah Parsons, defensive end to the Cowboys.
So, yeah, those are some pretty good players. That feels like Tony Mandrich.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yes.
Sorry, Tony. I mean, I had to take you out there. I mean, I know I did a show with you about 2 months ago, but...
Feels fair.
It does.
Feels fair. I would let you know if it was out of bounds. It feels fair. And, of course, Zach Wilson now to the Denver Broncos and trying to resurrect his career and just make something of himself in the NFL after the disaster that was his time with the New York Jets. All right, we got to get to Jason Wilde. Very quickly, Joshy, your opinion on whether or not you're concerned about Brian Gutekunst buying the groceries and Matt LaFleur cooking the meal.
I'm not at all. I think there is a reason those two positions are so split. Some of it certainly could be more efficient. And there could be better communication. But it's hard to argue if you were Matt LaFleur saying, I wish I had more input, when you see what Brian Gutekunst has done in the draft the past 2 years. Now, the stray thought I keep having is when the Packers signed Rich Bisaccia, they made him one of the highest paid assistants. And then they allowed him to handpick kind of moving forward, there was a few guys who were special teamers only who actually ended up getting cut. There was obviously the draft pick of Anders Carlson. They hired Jeff Hafley this offseason, and immediately Xavier McKinney was a big spender. The one thought I keep having is, are we going to come away from the draft going, wow, they really let Jeff Hafley kind of make investments here? Now, it's going to be hard to time to people. There's certainly the recruiting aspect, but... are they going to spend premium picks on defensive line, on more D-backs? And we're going to kind of look going, yeah, they're giving Jeff Hafley everything he wants, everything he needs. So that's where I keep coming back to. Like, there could be a narrative here where, Jeff Hafley, you have the pieces, now go make them work.
Which it should be, because Jeff Hafley is the chef and Goody is the sous chef. Because Goody, even though he knows football... he's not sure how Hafley wants to run his defense, so you have to trust Hafley to say that, yes, I need another safety in order to make my defense work.
But you're going to give Hafley that courtesy and not Matt LaFleur?
On the defensive side, yes.
Interesting.
Yes, totally. Totally,
because Matt LaFleur runs the offense.
Yes. Yeah, you got to trust Hafley, because I don't know what he's going to do. I think I know what he's going to do. He's got to make the evaluation, which he should. He's already watched, you know, last year's film and graded it out. He knows who on that defense right now, who can play in his defense and who can't. He's not going to say it. He's not going to say it.
But he should say it to Goody.
He should say it to Goody.
Right.
Exactly.
So that Goody has an idea. And I'm sure, to be honest with you, I'm sure that is dictating their draft board from a defensive standpoint. What does Jeff Hafley need to be successful? What would he ideally want? How can we go out and make that happen? We got to get to Jason Wilde. I'm sure he'll have some insight on the Green Bay Packers and the draft today. A little bit later in the show, Chewy has a wild proposal. And I kind of love it because it's crazy. But it might actually work. Stick around.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
He has come light years in the last 2 months, and people should be over the moon excited about that.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically, or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive, we are driven by you.
Draft day to you, Jason Wilde. Oh, Joshy, by the way, we haven't used our Chewy sounder yet.
I haven't been right.
Not that one. Okay. That's not the one.
I gotcha. Oh.
Wow.
Is Jason there?
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's marveling at the
hello
intelligent stuff we are spewing here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Did you find the draft sounder?
I thought that was it, and let me look.
Okay. Good morning, Jason.
Keith Neitzel, no matter what.
Keith is not with us today. Keith is doing his 100 holes for the Mac Fund, which means that Chewy and I have been left to our own devices. So
yeah, I can tell. I wasn't even sure when I was supposed to talk there.
Mischief abounds here on Gen Gate. We're just excited, Jason. Like, between Joshy and I, we're at like a 9.5 giddy level this morning about the NFL draft, and the Packers don't even pick until like 1:45 in the morning. Just kidding, it's more like 10 o'clock, but it'll feel like 1 o'clock in the morning. There it is!
Okay.
Jason, are you excited about the NFL draft?
I love the draft. I hate all the buildup. I hate, hey, come read my 30-second mock draft of the draft season. And here's who I think the Packers should take. I hate all that stuff, but I love draft day. And I'm not talking about the movie, although I do love that too. I just think that this is such a, these 3 days are probably maybe not my favorite days of the NFL year, but certainly up there, even with game days, because, you know, the anticipation of when the Packers are on the clock and who are they going to pick? Like, I remember sitting in the auditorium in 2005 when Rodgers dropped like a rock. And during the, I think it was still 15 minutes back then, during the 15 minutes the Packers are on the clock, you're thinking, oh my God, are they really going to do it? Are they really going to take Favre's successor? I remember in 2001 when the PR staff handed out Dan Morgan's bio because Ron Wolf wanted to take Dan Morgan. And then he deferred because he had announced his retirement to Mike Sherman and the coaching staff. And they picked Jamal Reynolds and they asked for Dan Morgan's bio back. It's such a neat moment. You know, the Jordan Love pick, I mean, I was sitting at home, but we knew that Jordan Love had done a top 30 visit. It was obviously video because we were in the middle of the pandemic, but there were rumblings that the Packers were really interested. And so again, during that timeline, the anticipation of, I think they're really going to do this. And then LaFleur's kid, like making faces on television. I just think it's such a neat time, and it is a weird juxtaposition though, because I really do hate the draft industrial complex where everybody thinks they're a draft expert and they fill out mock drafts like they're filling out their bracket for the NCAA tournament. I don't think that that's productive. I think that's clickbaity. I think there are people that do really, really good work, like Dane Brugler at The Athletic. Like Mel Kiper, like Field Yates, who worked in a scouting department, like Daniel Jeremiah, who was a scout for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, that's the stuff that I think is time well spent and is the stuff that I like to use as a guideline for our conversations. But once we get to draft day, all bets are off, and these are the three best days of the offseason calendar.
Jason, I'd love to see him package the twos to move up to 21 and say get DeJean and then alignment at 25, which reminds us of B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews. Do you remember how that went down? Did that happen like bing, bing?
No. So they picked Raji at 9. And I had heard, because that was back still during the era where I had guys in the building that would at least give me some idea of what was going on. And, you know, while Domofsky's thing about Zach Tom being a potential Hall of Fame center gave us a lot of content and gave aggregators a lot of content a couple weeks ago, like, I think Rob would even admit that it's not the same as it was when you had Reggie and Schneider and John Dorsey and Elliot Wolf and Brian Gutekunst, who were all varying degrees of lieutenants to Ted or to Ron before that. Like, you know, those guys, there was a freedom because they, you know, and again, I don't want to, people don't care how I do my job. They just want me to do my job. But it sure was nice, even though Ted didn't talk a lot off the record, it was nice to have people that allowed us to inform fans a little bit more effectively. And so I don't have a great feel for what they're going to do here. But I know back in 2009, I had had one of those guys tell me that, well, I'll tell you what, Ted really loves Clay Matthews, man. He played with his dad or his uncle in the NFL back in the day. And I knew that he had gone to Clay's on-campus workout. And there was this kind of feeling of, God, I wonder if they're going to get him. But they didn't have another first-round pick. And Ted, during his first four drafts to that point. And I think he traded up once and traded back like 14 times. So we were kind of blindsided when he packaged picks and went up to 26 with Belichick and got Clay Matthews. And as you pointed out, that was a huge draft because they were converting from the 4-3 to the 3-4. The two most important spots are the nose and an edge rusher, and they went and got both of them. I don't think the switch to Halfley is anything remotely close to that, so I don't think they need to say, oh, we're in a 4-3 now. These are the things we need to get, and we're going to go out and get them in the first round. But you're right. I think there's the possibility that those are two players that are going to be seriously considered. I don't think they're going to package their 2 seconds to go get another first. I do think that it sounded to me anyway that Goody, unless it's a tackle that they really, really like. Remember when Keith was on, we were talking about how, and by the way, those who are tuning in late, I called Gabe's dad Keith, and his actual name is not Keith. but when we were talking about how, you know, Schneider's got the 16th pick in Seattle, and maybe the Packers go up to get it, and they would have to use the 58th pick as the ammunition to go up from 25 to 16. They may have to do that if there is a tackle they really like. Like if they like the Oklahoma guy, or they like the Guyton, I think his name is, or if they like Mims enough from Georgia, there's a chance they may have to go up that high to get one of the tackles they like. But if they do that, that means you're going to get one less potentially very good player on day two. So I think it's going to be really interesting what happens tonight. Maybe they don't pick until 1:45 a.m.
We were talking about why the Packers fans should be excited about tonight. And, of course, the more success your team has, the further down you're picking, which is why we're joking it'll be at 1:45 in the morning. But I think the intrigue this year is to watch and see how many of those quarterbacks go. How many of those wide receivers go? How many of the offensive linemen go? Because as Adam Schefter told us yesterday, the more of those you see, the more likely the Packers actually get a guy that they want, whether it's a defensive back or whether it is a later offensive tackle. And I want to sit there on the offensive line position for a moment, Jason. In your experience, is the disparity between a third round offensive line and a first round offensive lineman that great? I feel like, even though they sent out a graphic yesterday, Hembo sent out a graphic, Adam Schefter shared it with the world, about hit rates, and offensive line had the most successful hit rate over the last 20 years, it still feels to me like there's not as much difference between a third-round offensive lineman and a first-round offensive lineman as there is between, let's say, a first-round wide receiver versus a third-round wide receiver. Am I oversimplifying that?
No, I don't think so. No, I saw that graphic too, and I thought it was really instructive. I was glad that Adam shared that because I wouldn't have seen it otherwise. That said, I also think it's a little bit easier to call an offensive lineman a hit as opposed to, we have measurable statistics for other positions. So if a guy is a disappointment, it's very easy to be able to tell statistically if he is a disappointment. That was the one thing that I thought of as I was going through that and looking at the offensive line hit rate, because the Packers just signed a guy who definitely was not a first-round offensive line hit, right? The Andre Dillard guy who was drafted by Philly, spent last year with Tennessee, but I think has only started 19 games as a first-round draft pick. That would not be a hit, right? We would agree. So, look, the Packers have a great history of getting guys in the fourth and fifth rounds who turn into stud offensive linemen for them, right? I mean, they've got Zach Tom, who's a fourth-rounder. David Bakhtiari was a fourth-rounder. Josh Sitton and DJ Lang were fourth-rounders. Corey Linsley was a fifth-rounder. So the thing is, they also take a bunch of offensive linemen on day three. Like, in the 2020 draft, they took three offensive linemen in the sixth round. One of them hit, right? John Runyon was a good starter for the last 3 years. So that's a hit in a sixth-round pick. The other two sixth-rounders were not hits. So I do think that there is a special level of athleticism that you probably can't get later in the draft when you draft an offensive lineman in the first round, if it's Barton or it's Mims or whoever else. But that doesn't guarantee anything necessarily. So I do think the hit rate is higher, but I do think that the disparity between that, if you get the right guys, is not a very large one.
Jason, is this defense in for a rude awakening during the OTAs in training camp? When Halfley spoke, I forget the word he used, but it was equivalent to lazy.
Oh, effort.
Yeah.
Effort.
Lead the league in effort.
Which is basically laziness. Are they in for a rude awakening?
Well, hold on, Jason. Let me make sure you're following the bouncing ball that Chewy is tossing out here. He said that they wanted to lead the league. He said that he wanted his defense to lead the league in effort, which, again, is a tough metric to actually measure, much like you were saying about the offensive line, which led our esteemed panel to surmise that when he watched the film of last year, he saw loafing. Am I right about that, Chew?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what Chewy's talking about.
Yeah, look, I think one of the, and again, I have not seen them do a single thing on the field yet, right? So it's a little bit hard to, that's one of the reasons why I'm looking forward to OTAs, and I actually am campaigning to get to see more OTA practices than we normally get, which I'm sure won't work. But, like, for example, you've heard some of the other stuff that Halfley has said about rallying to the ball and how the safety has to come down with his hair on fire and all that kind of stuff. I do think that there are two parts to that. One, I do think the design of the defense, based on how he's explained it to us, is really reliant on that, right? Because of, you know, they're going to play, even though we all thought, oh my God, this guy loves man, press man coverage, he basically said that we're wrong, right? He wants his guys to have vision to the ball so they can get more interceptions. They had 7 interceptions last year. Like, there were guys that had that many.
Oh, yeah, we said 18 takeaways for the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that part is speed and effort and sight of the being able to see the quarterback and being able to intercept passes. So that's part of it. I think they definitely want – one of the reasons why they signed Xavier McKinney is because they feel like he's a guy that is a sure tackler who can come down at a high rate of speed, break down, and make tackles. That's one of the things they think he's really good at. So I do think that it's a component of their defense as it is designed that they have to play with high effort because of the way they want to play. Now, on the flip side of that, do I think there were guys that were unhappy in that scheme and that that scheme was designed to be a little bit, dare I say, passive? So they may not have been loafing. They either, A, when you're not happy in your job, your effort level's probably not great, right? And hard not to feel that way about a few of the guys on that team last year. And then, two, if you're playing in a preventative way, that may look like loafing or lack of effort, when in reality you're playing the defense the way it's designed. So this defense is definitely designed differently. So I understand that why we would latch onto that word. I don't know if I would go so far as to say that there were a bunch of guys not trying very hard. I think that defense was designed really in a way that, and look, it worked for a while against the McVay, Shanahan, LaFleur style offenses. And then LaFleur style offenses started to find holes and they started to have success. And now you got to find the next counter move. But I don't think that there were a ton of lazy guys. I don't think it was that.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Our giddy level has only gotten giddier as the morning goes on, as we are excited about the first round of the NFL draft tonight. Have a good show, Jason. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch. No doubt we'll be talking NFL draft today as the Packers pick 25 tonight on the NFL draft coverage. We got to take a break. Lots of stuff to get to this morning. Albert Breer has released his most recent mock draft and does not have any of the people who we have mentioned going to the Green Bay Packers. We'll reveal that and Chewy's crazy idea coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right, back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Jamura has said some crazy things on this show. What was it about cheddar cheese not being a top five cheese?
I didn't know it was cheddar.
That was a tough one. It's a tough one to recover from.
Yeah, that is.
I'm a certain partner.
But you have an idea that you're kind of intrigued by.
Yes.
I don't want you to diminish it now because I gave you the look of like, seriously, Clark? So your idea that you just threw out to me was what?
I want you to answer some questions first.
Oh, wait, okay.
Both of you. This is an offensive-driven league, correct?
100%, yes.
Not a great draft defensively, right? Linebackers, D-line.
Correct. It is more offensive-heavy.
If you know...
In the early rounds.
If you know a player, in your estimation, is going to be a Hall of Fame player, play at that position for 12 years. Would you trade 25, 41, and 58 to go up and get him?
What position are we talking?
Left tackle.
Ugh.
Go up and get
now,
Alt.
Now, if you said
go
quarterback.
Go up and get Alt, right? Alt is your left tackle for the next 12 years. You move Zach Tom to center. You move Rashid Walker to right tackle. That becomes a top five offensive line in the NFL with a lot of weapons, a great running back, and hopefully a great quarterback. Gives you to the ability to outscore people. You say, Halfley, put this together. Okay, we're still going to draft some defensive guys. We're going to give you a year, and then next year is your defensive draft, and then you load it up. Yes or no?
I think it's way too costly. I think it's costing. For a guy in Brian Gutekunst who loves his draft picks, to give up three draft picks to go out and get an offensive lineman.
For a Hall of Fame player, though.
Sure, but what if he gets injured? Like, it's just still a lot of capital to put out there. And I don't know. I'm trying to scroll very quickly through a metric here of the offensive lines from last year. Correct me if I'm wrong, Joshy. I thought that the Green Bay Packers offensive line was top 10 in the league last year.
Yeah, I mean, it depends where you look, but they were regarded as one of the best in the NFL.
And that was with Rasheed Walker and Elton Jenkins and Josh Meyer and John Runyon and Zach Tom.
When they were figuring out who plays where, who gets what, they started doing that rotational thing that was strange. But by the end of the year, they had solidified an offense to where they were considered one of the best in the NFL. The thing I'm having trouble with is if I had hindsight and knew Joe Alt was surefire Hall of Famer, I make the trade without a doubt. But when it comes to Joe Alt right now, as he stands here, I don't have any guarantees he is that. People are very high on him, thinks he's going to be great, but there still is an inherent risk. There's all sorts of factors. Yeah. There's injuries. I am in favor of the Packers being aggressive and going to get one of the best tackles. I don't like it coming at the first three picks because I think there's enough.
But then your offense is set for the next how many years? You don't have to draft receivers. You don't have to draft a tight end. You don't have to draft an O-line early. You got your running back. You have your quarterback.
But those are all picks that you use on the other side of the ball. That's what I would argue.
Yeah.
Just because the offense is set doesn't mean the defense is. And right now we think the Packers are going to invest that capital on the other side of the ball. If you're Jeff Hafley, aren't you going, what the hell, man?
Yeah.
What the hell just happened?
Three picks went to one
guy. Why you got the last eight, for crying out loud? Can we have 1 year? Can we have 1 year where we get all the picks? Or trade away the picks to get the guy we want.
I said it was a crazy idea. I don't think it's asking a lot. I said it was a crazy idea. To me, it's too much capital to be investing in one position when, like we just discussed with Jason Wilde, the disparity between what you can get in the third round, the fourth round maybe, and the first round seems small. Like, there are other positions where the disparity between a third rounder and a first rounder is a galaxy, right? And you would never say, well, there's not that much difference between a guy in the first round and a guy. Not at the offensive line position. And the Packers have shown through the years to be able to take guys that you get later on and develop them into very reliable, very talented, very productive offensive linemen.
But
for that reason, I would not do it with Alt.
But they are concerned about the O-line if they're talking about moving Zach Tom from right tackle to center. There is concern there.
They want a better option than Rasheed Walker.
Yeah. Well, they also want a better option than Josh Myers.
Yes. Yeah. So, Jenna, your opinion is one that is pretty standard. I don't want to say standard. It's popular in Packers world.
Are you saying I'm average?
No. I'm saying it's one that's been used before, and it's with good reason. The Packers have had great success. The difference, I think, and the reason I think the Packers are seriously considering one of these top tackles is, when you start drafting these guys that are the top 5-6 at the tackle position, they blend all the things together that the Packers typically look for. It's the size, it's the arm length, it's the athleticism, and then it's the pedigree. A lot of those guys, like a Zach Tom, didn't come with that. David Bakhtiari didn't either, but he fit a lot of those things. To me, if you want a guy who's going to be David Bakhtiari level, you have a way better chance of finding them in the first round than waiting and let people go and pick at them.
Let me be very clear, Joshy, because I hear what you're saying and I agree with what you're saying. But I don't think that the difference between a Joe Alt and a Fashanu and a Mims and a Barton is so great that you take three of your first three picks and put them together to go get Alt.
I agree with you.
And I don't even know, again, Alt is he's the shiny, sparkling guy at that position, right? Mm-hmm. Like, unanimously, people feel like Joe Alt will be the first offensive lineman off the board. But I don't know if he's that much better than the other guys that the Packers actually can get at 25.
Does it matter that his dad was a hell of a player for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Is that what this is? Is that what just happened here?
Nice guy.
You and Ted Thompson, love the dudes whose dads played in the league.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Joshy, I wanted to have a conversation with you about Jeremiah Trotter, because with his dad's pedigree and how successful he was in the league, I thought he was a surefire thing. And then he went and lost all that weight.
Yeah.
And then he didn't perform well at the combine. It was the combine, or he didn't run at the combine. One of the two did not have a good combine outing, showing, and he has just fallen.
Yeah, I have people I trust and value their opinion when it comes to the draft. The say, frankly, the guy can't play at the NFL level, which that happens especially at that linebacker position in college. Paul Dawson from TCU comes to mind, where everyone was like, this is a first-round guy. And they just didn't have the athleticism and the strength to compete at that level. Now, I understand why Jeremiah Trotter from Clemson, I don't know if we mentioned that, is the guy that everybody looks at because of the pedigree and because of the high tackle totals. But losing weight and then not competing in the athleticism drills, to me, is a massive worry.
But that's the guy you want to go get. Not early, but that's a guy you want to pick in the third or second round, you know? Because it's like, what the hell were you doing? And then hopefully you can get him to figure it out. I mean, he could be a steal of the draft. You see that all the time.
Could be.
Yeah.
But it is alarming.
Yeah, the Packers are gonna pick traits. Now, would Jeremiah try to shock me? No, the Packers have gone and taken risks on guys who they think simply are good football players, and they'll figure out the athleticism stuff. But to me, there's so many guys in this draft at the linebacker position that do have the traits. Like Trevon Wallace from Kentucky is a guy I believe the Packers had on a visit. He's extremely athletic. The Packers are going to take traits. You can like it or not. They always break the tie with athleticism and size.
That's why so many people pay attention to the relative athletic score.
God, I didn't realize you guys were anti-trade up today.
Three picks, sit there and be boring. Listen to me.
Boring.
We're going to put it on the poll. We're going to put it on the poll, big guy, all right? And we'll see, because there are people out there who are intrigued by it. Let's see. I love Chewy's first consideration of trade both seconds for another first-round pick. Why would you waste three picks? So, Chew, that was another thing that you said, which we will get to as well. You suggested
I said for a Hall of Fame player.
You said packaging the two twos to move up to 21, and then you have 21 and 25 as opposed to 41 and 58.
Yeah.
Chewy's all about the trades. 800-990-3776, your reaction to Chewy's suggestions about packaging the first three to go up and get Joe Alt, because packaging your first three picks would give you the seven spot, which means that Alt would be available, or this idea of packaging the two twos to move up to 21, then you have 21 and 25, almost back-to-back picks there late in the first round. We got to take a break. We roll on right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
an
incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN. And I
wonder, when I sing along with you. My buddies at Great Midwest Bank work every day to make the lending process easy and stress-free for you. Their philosophy is simple. Banquility. It means creating a sense of tranquility throughout every banking transaction, from day-to-day bank visits to pre-approval for a loan, all the way to closing day. You never feel awkward about asking questions about the loan process because their loan officers are there for you. You'll see what I mean when you work with their smart and friendly team. Experience a state of banquility for yourself at Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to get started on your home loan. All right, let's get to some of the reaction.
How do you think this went for you, Chew?
I think it went wonderfully.
Someone said, Chewy is talking wild this morning. That from Nick in the 262. Let's see. Matthew Schwab saying, who needs Schefter or Mel Kiper when you've got Joshy breaking down the draft? People impressed with Joshy's draft knowledge. Interesting idea, Chew, says Andrew in the 608. But I, like you, am still nervous about betting on Jordan Love after only 9 great games at the end of the season. It's not worth trading the assets. There are other offensive tackles out there that we could draft without losing so many picks. And then TC, Tony Cartagena, who obviously works here at Good Karma Brands, and if you haven't listened to his Bucks Plus content yet, guys, make sure you do. There's some great stuff there with Thanasis Antetokounmpo. He says, wait, It's scary, but I agree with Chew. I'm not drafting Cheddar Cheese 100% in the top five. It's an undrafted free agent at best, probably a UFL cheese.
Thanks, Tony. Especially the yellow.
That's the last.
I don't want yellow cheese.
That's the last voice we're giving Tony on this show.
Is there yellow Swiss?
I don't think so.
Which doesn't make
Swiss is
sense for the cheesehead.
And holy. Yeah, you're right.
But if they're going to white helmets now, they could change the cheesehead to white.
Would you and wear then it a would white work. Cheesehead?
I would. But you not wearing wear yellow. Yellow one. I don't eat yellow cheese.
Yellow doesn't look good on me. You know how there's colors? You know they do that whole thing with like the color wheel.
Yeah.
They put it in front of your face and they see what looks good with your skin and your undertones. I don't look great in yellow.
Yellow's my favorite color.
Does it look good on you?
I don't know.
Doesn't care.
It did at one time. The pants did at least.
Yeah, I was say, he did wear it a lot.
Famously a member of the Green
Chewy,
Bay
would you
Packers.
Self-describe yourself as somebody who has doubts about Jordan Love? It sounded like that person was kind of including you in a camp I'm not sure you're fully a part
of. I don't have doubts, but there is the possibility of a step backwards.
Yes.
I mean, you look at Jalen Hurts, you look at Carson Wentz, you look at all these quarterbacks that came out firing, and then there's a little backstep. Not saying he's going to be awful and he's going to be a bust. I'm just saying those nine games are pretty damn good.
Not to the extent of where you would be hesitant to invest in the offense.
No.
Right.
No, not at all.
Are we all in agreement, though, that when Sam weighs in saying, what about Marvin Harrison Jr., that feels like unnecessary?
Yeah, sure does. I'd love him.
Throw in a third. Let's go get him.
Yeah, he's going to be gone by 7.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. First wide receiver off the board. Although, subterfuge and whatnot, seeing a lot of people talking about Neighbors. He's been your guy all season long, Joshy.
Yeah, I've liked him along. I don't think he's Marvin Harrison good. I would still, you know, trust the guys you thought all along since they've been in high school.
Don't be fooled.
But he's a great consolation prize at second.
But we're not going that high either,
no,
right?
No, I don't think so.
Just making sure we're all on the same page. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.